Welcome back to another episode of Dentistry's Growing with Grace podcast. Join Grace and her guest of the week as they discuss lessons learned in the industry and explore unique insights into ethical growth.
Hello and welcome back to Dentistry's Growing with Grace. I'm here again with my friend Dana Russell. Dana, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Grace. Thank you for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. So for our listeners, today is going to be a fun episode. We're going to briefly introduce ourselves, kind of talk a little bit about what we do, how we work together on occasion to help dentists and dental teams. But we're also going to be sharing some fun stuff. We're going to be sharing some stories about clients, you, our audience. We're going to be talking about some of the crazy stuff that, and I'm filtering myself, some of the crazy stuff that we've heard throughout the years in coaching and advising. And who knows, maybe this will turn into a little series or something. What do you think?
No names.
No, we're not here to throw anybody under the bus or embarrass anybody. Exactly. I actually think you can learn a lot more from
hearing
where other people are making mistakes than just hearing best practices, because it doesn't stick the same.
If
this is the first podcast you've heard of mine, I'm Grace Rizza, owner and founder of Identity Dental Marketing. We are a full service dental marketing company. We do branding, websites, SEO, Google Ads, social media marketing, video marketing, you name it. We do it, but we don't make you do everything. We just meet you where you're at, provide what you need, and we're your people. So, and Dana, tell our audience about you.
I am owner and head coach at Dental Concierge Coach. I work with front offices and dental teams to reduce stress, have happier patients, better systems and implementation of those systems, just to reduce overall stress in the practice and have patients have a better experience, make everybody's day better. I customize everything. Everything's based on templates, as we all know in coaching, but everything is customized to that practice and what they need at the time.
Oh no, you just said templates. 10 doctors just left the podcast.
I don't use templates.
Well, we'll talk about these misconceptions our dental audience and some things that if they know from a different perspective, they can actually grow a lot quicker.
Absolutely.
So maybe we'll title this episode Tough Love with Dana Russell and Grace Rizza. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. So we jumped on early this morning to kind of touch base. And we were talking about sometimes we talk about really out there clients, like clients that really challenge us. And we have plenty of stories. I've been doing this for 13 years. Dana, how long have you been?
I've been doing this since 2016. So 4, 5, 6, going on 7 soon.
6 going on 7 years of coaching and advising dentists.
Yep. In dentistry for 30. So I got stories too.
Oh, it's wild.
I know.
You know, you have the worst ones that stand out where you're like, okay, this person was just really unethical. And then you have the things that happen kind of all of the time where you're like, how do they not know this is how it works?
Exactly.
Do you have an experience? If you don't, I surely do. Do you have any experience to share where you could talk, you know, what's one thing you wish dentists knew about hiring an advisor?
Oh man. I wish that I tell them, but of course, you know, people come into this with their own expectations. This is a process. Growing an office and getting an office to run better is a process. There is no magic bean. There's no one thing you can do. You can't buy a book or buy a course. It's work. And if everybody's on board, the work is fun. And it grows, but when you don't, when you hop from, I'm going to do this and you try it for 30 days and well, that didn't work. So now I'm going to try this. It's like, what are you doing? Your team doesn't even trust you anymore because you don't stick with anything. You just jump and always buying things. And it just doesn't work.
Always buying things. That's what it's going to be like. That's going to be like a quote here. In Russell, dentists always be buying things.
Always be buying things. Well, that's what they do. And then they're like, well, do you know how much money I've spent on that kind of thing? Well, yeah, because you keep buying things. Stop.
Okay, so I've seen a lot of dentists spend a ton of money on expensive courses. And I'm good with continuing education. I think it's a great investment to have that as a regular. It's important.
But it is.
Some of that you could get online. Like, you don't have to go to another country for your CE. And are they not making sometimes wise decisions about how much time they're out of the office? Like, I just have to say this before I pass the mic. Okay. This is like events. This is like a therapy podcast for me.
Yep.
Okay. Well, don't call me and tell me your new patient numbers are down last month and then tell me, or let me find out on my own later, that you were in Greece for 2 weeks last month.
Bingo.
What? Yeah. You want to blame me?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we need to go. We need to go take this CE course. We're going to be gone for a week. Who's answering the phones? Nobody.
Oh, this is one I get all the time. So when I get all the time, and it's innocent, like people just don't know better.
Yeah.
And they're busy, you know, they're just worried and busy. It's not, it's not malicious most of the time.
They're looking for the magic bean.
Yeah. Yep. So where was I going?
You get this all the time.
Oh, I get this all the time. Yes. Not just my last month's numbers were down because I was on vacation for 2 weeks. I also get that I'm going on vacation for a week or 10 days, turn off all my advertising. So they think it's a faucet. Like, they think that like their ads should stop running and everything should be halted because they're going to be out of the office. And what if somebody calls? So instead of just saying, why don't we pay someone a little bit to answer the phones or make sure we connect online scheduling to our ad so we don't lose any momentum. No, they want to shut it all down. And what happens is Google does not like that. They want to see that steady flow of money. So they push your campaign, whether it's Google or Facebook or whatever, your campaign goes through a learning phase again. So when you come back on, it's not like turning on and off a faucet. Now you have to go through the waiting period again for your ads to perform. So I advise people otherwise. I don't know if they think that I'm like, it's me being stingy. Maybe they don't make the connection that it does not affect me by even one single dollar. If I pause your ad spend, that money doesn't go to me or through me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some sort of ulterior motive either. So that constant place of distrust is exhausting.
Well, they don't call their landlord and say, I'm going to only be working 3 weeks next month, so I should only pay 3/4 of my rent.
Right.
It's the same thing. You know, some expenses you have to have in place.
Maybe some people do call their landlord and try to rent out the office for 1 week. I don't know, but it's,
maybe they do. You're right. That would be a great conversation. I don't know. How's that work?
I think it's well-intended, and I think it comes from a place of overwhelm and panic. And
it does.
And I think the underlying problem is when you're dealing with constant adrenaline spikes, you're going to get burnt out. When you're dealing with this patient's pain, this employee's BS, this bill stacking up, or is the insurance being handled properly? Are we in network anymore with this one or not? I mean, it's a juggle. You show up and you're juggling all day. And if you don't learn how to manage that and manage your schedule and almost compartmentalize certain emotions, then those adrenaline spikes, no matter how healthy you are, they're going to really wear on you.
That's a great point, because most of the stress in a dental office starts with the schedule. And when the schedule is not good, everybody feels like a dish rag at the end of the day. And people are snipping at each other and people are getting frustrated. And I mean, we hear it all day long. I'm burned out. Well, I get it. So create what you want. Don't let patients create it for you. You know, there's great scheduling strategies out there.
Yeah.
But people need to be everything in dentistry is intentional. You know this. And so we have to come to work being on, you know, it's intentional, what we say, what we do, how we handle patients. And then when we leave, we get to turn off. And it's having that imbalance that really is starting to affect people because they're trying to do more than they're capable of doing.
Yep. Last weekend, and I relate to it too, because as a business owner, it's the same. And I have a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, and they're a lot, you know them, they're a lot.
They're and sweet though.
They are deep inside. They're really sweet. Last weekend, my husband made all these big plans to go to this, you know, amusement park and to, you know, I felt really bad. It was his birthday weekend and he wanted to go to Universal and kind of have a fun day at the theme park. And my idea of a fun weekend was just getting a break. I just really needed a break and I needed to organize my house my way. And I'm like, do you mind if I don't go? And he was like, no, you totally need a break. You should take a break. He's so easygoing. Aww. Thank God he's easygoing because I'm not. And they went and they had a great time and they were sending me pictures and I organized the whole house. And I swear, like, no matter what, if my surroundings are calm and non-chaotic and organized, then inside I'm more equipped to handle whatever's going to come my way, like for the week. Yep. It was a very chaotic, stressful, difficult week. I mean, that's part of being in business is dealing with new challenges, new curveballs, change. And so I'm really glad I had that chance to like, just get a break. Cause that's often awesome. With young kids, you often don't get a break. So if you're a dental practice owner and you have kids, even if they're not that young, you're, from what I'm hearing from my friends with older children, you're still always kind of on. And so finding that time to just recharge and get organized, I think is really helpful.
Well, we see that in the front office and the clinical as well. You know, they have families too. And it's traditionally women, you know, there's not a whole lot of men that work in dentistry in the clinical and front office areas. I don't know why that is, but they have lives after work too. And they need breaks at lunch. They need to be able to leave on time and they need to have a set schedule that they can kind of rely on. Yes, it's fluid, but when we're thinking about our best practices and what's best for our patients, it's not to be stacking people in like an assembly line and working your team into the ground and then you're exhausted as well. That's not the best experience.
Yeah. If you're organized, you can streamline things and you can move quickly and you can be efficient and you can build whatever kind of practice you want. If you want to have a multiple provider, busier practice with more patients, you can do that. And if you want to have a slower paced practice, more, you have to be more fee for service if you do that, or you don't have a whole lot of profitability there, but you know, you can pick the type of practice model and anything in between that you want and make that work. But the emotion and the energy and the morale have to be positive or it spews out into everyone.
Oh yeah.
In your life. So not just your team, not just your family, it also spews out to your colleagues, to your friends, to your advisors. And we can feel that. Like I could tell you of my clients, there's not a lot. I mean, most of my clients are very together. They have it together. Very respectful, respect boundaries, appreciate results. Great communicators when they need something, they're polite. They say please and thank you. Like vast majority are just awesome people. And I love serving the dental community. I'm going to start with that. Okay. That can't get cropped out because where I'm going isn't that. Okay. Yep. But then you have the outliers who are always struggling. They have never found an advisor that has helped them. Yep. Everybody they've ever worked with has screwed them over. Because like you said, we were talking about before, you said a lot of times they're looking for this magic bean, this too good to be true thing that's going to fix all their problems. Mm-hmm. And so the ads out there, the advisors that are saying, you know, things like 20 new patients tomorrow or all your money back. It's like, you can't tell that that's not true. Like you're going to fall for that again.
Again, because they want to believe it. They look at their colleagues and they're like, well, they're getting 20 new patients a month or 40 new patients a month.
100.
They don't look at what's going into that.
One doctor. I'm like, where are you putting these people?
And how many of them are staying? Do you realize the size office you'd have to see 100 new patients a month and retain them?
So I take calls like this, Dana, where they're like, yes, I want to see 100 new patients a month. Can you do that? And I'm like,
you?
Sure. Do you want to know what it's going to cost? It's like, how quickly do you need that done? You know, yes, I've done it before. I can do it again, but this is what it costs to attract a new patient. And then they're like, that's ridiculous. I'm like, I don't control that. That's not a grace thing. That's the other thing. They think we have so much control over what happens.
Yep. And it's not. We don't. You're not sitting behind Google pushing buttons, making things come up and go down.
I mean, kind of, but not in that simplistic of a nature. Yes. I had a client text me recently that her bad Yelp review now shows up on Google, and she was livid. She was, I am just livid that your team would let a bad review show for me on Google. I'm like, wait, what do you think we do?
Maybe we can have that discussion again.
We're not doing reputation management for you. We're doing SEO for your website to get your website to come up, which it does. How is that connected to the scathing review that you earned yourself, or that someone maybe you didn't deserve it? That's a different topic, but what does that have to do? Like, you could politely ask me for my help and advice, or you could text me on my cell phone in the middle of a workday demanding answers now. Like, which one you think is going to be more effective with me?
Absolutely. I get clients that will start, you know, say we're going to start with scheduling. We're going to get the schedule so that we can start creating a better day. And a weekend, they're like, well, I'm not seeing any difference. Well, because you're scheduled out for 6 months, you know, you can't get with you for 3 months. So we have to start looking to the future and changing what we're doing. Well, but I need change now. Well, okay, let's move some people. Well, I don't want to move anybody.
That reminds me of the phone call. Grace, I need to talk to you personally because I don't have 20 employees you can talk to, but okay. I need to talk to you personally. I'm very concerned because I launched my ads yesterday and I'm not getting any return on investment yet.
You don't have 100 new patients calls already?
I have notes from our original phone call where I told you how long it's going to take to get do you remember that conversation, doctor? And then they're like, well, that's not what you said. I'm like, I have it recorded and I have it in writing. Like, yes, it is. We did talk about this, but like, you're right. It's sometimes not everyone. This is the handful of people who can't get the best advisors because when they do, they don't know how to treat them. And then they end up back with the over promisers and the under deliverers. And it's just a cycle. So
it is. And you know, we all, as people who serve people in the dental industry, we all strive really hard to set proper expectations. I'm a huge expectation setter.
Well, maybe not all of us, but we do.
Yeah.
My fellow marketers do not give a crap about realistic expectations.
Well, that's true. They're promising the moon and they have no intent of delivering.
No, they just say sign on the line, lock in for a year, and then it doesn't matter.
You may or may not hear from them. I see that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be getting ready to start working with a client and they're like, well, you know, you have me sign a contract, you know, that what if I don't like it? It's like it's just a formality. You don't have, you know, if you don't want to work with me, I'm not going to keep you. That would be crazy. Well, it says it's for 6 months. And it's like, well, because it takes time, you know, let's give this time to happen. And 2 weeks in, you know, I'm the one going, I don't know if this is a good fit.
Yeah.
Because they're not listening. They're wanting to do it their own way. And then they're saying, well, but you're the expert. Well, but then you need to change some things. How many times have we always said, if you want something to change, you have to change something?
I love now that I've been in business for so long, I've got a lot of people who have kind of watched for a long time, years and years and years. And now they're like, okay, I'm ready to do it right. And I know that you're an honest person. I know how you function. I've heard enough. I'm ready to go. Just tell me what it costs and we'll get started. And I'm like, okay, now I want to give that person even better pricing. Yep. And I want to go way over and above for them because they come with some trust. They trust me. And that puts a lot on me. I'm like, I have to live up to that. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with patients. It's the same with employees. If you just trust and expect a lot out of a person, they're going to do everything in their power.
Absolutely.
To fulfill that. But if you go into a relationship having no trust, giving no responsibility to a person, and yes, trust is earned over time, that's a different conversation too, but give people some opportunity, give people some, don't go in guns a-blazing looking for something to be upset about.
Exactly.
Or is what you're going to find in a lot of cases. So I think part of the employee retention thing is a lot of people are not investing in training. They're not wanting to do any call recording with their team, which we can talk about too. Doing any check-ins, things like that. And then they wonder why they don't have trust. It's because they don't have those processes in place to build the trust.
Yeah. Well, they don't know what their employees are doing because they don't have any systems in place to onboard them and then to have benchmarks that they meet.
Right.
So the dentist is trying to do dentistry and then they're running up front trying to see what the front office is doing. And then they're pulling an insurance report saying, why isn't this being done, when they truly, a lot of times, not all, some dentists are really good about reports, but some of them, I start talking to them and they don't even know what reports they should be pulling.
Yeah.
And it's you need help.
I'm going to throw a couple of dentists under the bus, no names mentioned, but another thing I get too is we reach out for a quarterly review because we want to touch base. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that the new patient numbers that they're seeing is the same results from what we're seeing from our campaigns and our click-through rates. Because if marketing messages are not true to who you are, then it won't bring in the right type of patient. So we need a little bit of feedback just mm-hmm. to confirm that we're on the right track and everything is working as we see it to be working. And I've had someone literally set up a no-show 5 consecutive meetings and then text my cell phone and expect me personally to get on the phone immediately when they have
a question. Right now. I need to talk to you now.
And this is what I want to say to all dentists. I want you to know, you are not the only one with billable hours. We all have billable hours. Even someone who's on salary, someone's paying their salary and they have billable hours. Everyone you meet, their time is valuable. Every person. It's not just because you have doctor before your name that your time matters. My time matters. Your time matters, Dana. Your time matters. If you're late, apologize. If you have to reschedule, apologize, because you are stealing from someone else when you do not honor your commitments with those people. And yes, we are understanding. We know you're a doctor. We know you get emergencies. We know you have employees who don't show up. We totally, totally understand. But five times consecutively.
It's not important to them. It's not important until it's important.
Don't book it and say, everything's good right now. Reach out next quarter and as needed, I'll book with you. But don't book it and not show, because I can't tell you how many dentists complain about no-show patients? And then they think nothing of vendors' time. We're not
vendors. It happens to me.
We're humans. We're not vendors. We're not here to sell. We're advisors. We're not just here to sell you something. We care about you.
I get, you know, dentists that schedule calls and, you know, they're 15 and I, you know, I call them, it goes to voicemail. I leave a message. I text them, hey, you know, let me know when you're available. If we still have time, I'll have a 45 minute call scheduled, a check-in call. And they call 10 minutes before the call would normally be ending. And they want to talk now for an hour.
Yeah.
Like we're going to have to, you know, find another time for this. Or they'll text me, I'm available for my clients. I know things come up and after hours is prime.
Yeah.
But I've got some that they won't have anything to do with me during hours. They want to call me at 6 o'clock and they're like, well, you never pick up your phone. Well, I have a family. You know, we eat dinner.
I got a phone call on Christmas morning several years ago. And, you know, I'll even say there is a circumstance where you could text me on Christmas morning and I'll respond. Mm-hmm. If you're saying Merry Christmas, that's okay. Right. And, or if your, let's say your website is down. Okay. That's something that's time sensitive. This wasn't that. This was, I have questions. I have concerns. And I'm like, I'm not working today. Mm-hmm. And they kept texting me and kept asking me questions and wanted to hop on a quick call. Meanwhile, my kids are like, did Santa come? And I'm like texting this person and it ruins the whole, it's the world does not revolve around you. And this is not most people.
A narcissistic dentist, it does. This is
not most people. This is some people. And just like with patients, you get those patients that you're like, oh no, this person's on the schedule. Oh, and it affects your energy and your mood for the whole day. Or, oh no, I got to deal with this employee. She's so disrespectful. Oh, how's she going to take this thing? If you have that dreadful feeling when you're having to work with someone, you got to let them go.
Yep. It's time.
It's time.
And
I wasn't going to fire someone on Christmas morning. So I just.
Well, exactly. But you know what I see so much when that happens is people are confusing, like in dentistry, the position with the person. It's like, well, they're a good person. Well, nobody said they weren't, but if they're sucking your energy or a patient, you know, we're confusing the patient with the person. Well, they're a good patient. I don't want to dismiss them. Well, but how come every time they're on your schedule, you roll your eyes and say, how'd they get back on the schedule? It's, are they a good fit?
Right.
Is what it comes down to. It has nothing to do with the person, their traits, their character, anything else that we're not talking about that.
We're not judging them as a human being.
Exactly.
We're not judging their intentions or
not at all. Not
that separation is important because if you can see a person as everyone's good, everyone's a person, everyone's a valid human, right? We're not here judging them, but we are gauging if they're a fit or not.
Exactly.
We're looking to build.
The reason there's more than one dentist is because we need more than one dentist. You can't be a dentist for everybody. So,
yep.
You know, marketing, I think you're the best out there. I would never send anybody anywhere else.
Thank you.
But I'm sure you have people that are like, that's just, you know, obviously they're buying, they want 100 new patients a month, guaranteed.
Which but, we can do, but not on a $500 budget.
No.
But really quick, you've got to fiercely protect the energy of you, your own energy, your own demeanor, your own morale, because you're going to spread that around. And you've got to fiercely protect your culture. And those two things are intimately connected.
Yes.
Culture is not free lunch. Culture is not, I'll just say, culture happens when you have people aligned in vision and mission.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you have the right people in the right positions, that is when things start to fall into place. Yep. And if you haven't established that with your team, no amount of marketing is going to make you happy. No number of new patients is going to make you happy. You're not going to experience joy at work until you have a joyous team who's on the same page. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest problem here is dentists wear like this badge of honor, not just dentists, business owners in general, wear this badge of honor saying, well, I've had the same team for 20 years. When I hear that, I go, oh, shoot. Oh, no.
We've always done it.
I know you think that's a positive because you retain staff, right? But why? Susie's stealing from you. Jenny never shows up on time because they're comfortable and they think they can never be let go. And so there are no boundaries.
Yep. There's no accountability and no boundaries. And that's hard for some dentists. Giving accountability to their team is hard. And I see it all the time. We start working together and I'll tell them up front, somebody may jump off the bus because if they don't want accountability, they're not going to take it. Right. And inevitably somebody will end up leaving. Yeah. And everybody's like, oh man, I wish that had happened years ago. Well, that's part of the problem.
It's hard. It's hard when it happens. Mm-hmm. It's harder when it doesn't happen.
That's great. I love that. Yes.
Long term, when you have the wrong fit, not wrong people, not bad people, wrong fit people mm-hmm. for you, it creates this earthquake effect where the two plates are always going to be just rubbing up against each other. And it's just a matter of time before it's going to be a big one. And that constant worry or fear of what kind of friction am I going to get from this person today? It disrupts the peace of the practice, of the whole environment.
Do you know, real quick, I worked in an office like that once. The office manager would come in and one of the assistants, we'd always look over to him and he'd be like, good morning, because we had to see how she responded.
Oh,
she was so bad. I was out marketing right around Thanksgiving. It was snowing. This was up north. I'm delivering pies to our referring dental offices. And I knew when I got done delivering my last two pies, I had to go back to the office. We were closed, but she was working and I had to go back and work with her. I seriously looked at the two pies on the seat, looked at the traffic coming. And what went through my head was, if I pull out in front of a car and get in an accident, I don't have to go back to the office today. That was bad. I walked in and gave her my keys. And I said, I can't do this anymore.
I had a similar experience. I was working at a restaurant when I was in college. And it was a German restaurant in Milwaukee. And I am not cut out to be a server. I cannot. Every time I go to a restaurant, I'm like a very good tipper because I'm like, yep. I can't do what you do.
Yep.
That's off. But it was like my second week or third week or something. And I totally forgot about a table. Like I couldn't handle four yet, but they needed me to take four tables at once. And I couldn't do it yet. So I forgot about someone. And they came up and they're like, you ruined our evening. We have a concert to go to and we're hungry. And I was like, oh. So I went home that night. I was driving and I was driving over a bridge. And I was like, oh no, the thoughts that are entering my mind right now, this is not worth it. I'm going to have to go work at Aeropostale or whatever I did next. But
yeah.
I'm like, there's a point where money doesn't matter, where uh-huh. you're not going to just buy your way out of bad culture. You can't.
I was always told, and I teach my dentist that, you know, they're like, well, you know, my front office manager, you know, I can't ask her to do that because, oh, she'll just blow up. And, you know, but the patients love her. You know, we don't get along, but the patients love her. And they're like, what do I do? How do I do this? And I'm like, eventually the pain of doing nothing will be greater than the pain of doing something.
Yeah.
You'll make a move when you're ready.
It's
not my job to come in and tell you to fire anybody. It's my job to help you create a culture that people want to come work for you. People are calling you saying, are you hiring?
There's this thing that happens along the way as you get more and more experience where you grow a backbone and then there's this maturing process in business leadership where you stop, you recognize that you're a people pleaser, you recognize that you're a perfectionist, people pleasing perfectionist. There we go.
PPP. There you go. PPP.
And yes. And you go, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not, for me, like getting stronger in my faith and saying, okay, the only person I need to please is God. Mm-hmm. And other, that really freed me up to set boundaries politely, respectfully, yeah. But to say, I understand you're feeling this, so-and-so. Then acknowledging the reality of the situation from your perspective and then giving them options, mm-hmm. not getting sucked into this argument or this proving yourself. You don't have to prove yourself. So boundaries are really tough to navigate.
They are. And what is, I don't understand the employees that want to argue with their boss. I mean, I'm from an era, you don't do that. You know, you, if it's not immoral or unethical and no one's going to need therapy later, then do it. You know, so, that's.
And let's say, so I think we need to define some things. So boundaries, arguments versus like respectfully disagreeing on something or sharing Absolutely. An alternative opinion, because you don't want yes men.
No. No,
definitely don't want yes men where they're like, yeah. And then they're like, walk away and don't do it because they're just telling you what you want to hear. You want people to feel at home and safe enough to voice opinions in a respectful way. You also want your employees to be able to set boundaries with you. If they're mm-hmm. uncomfortable with something that they're being asked to do, you want them to be able to voice that and make a suggestion for a solution.
Don't bring problems, bring me answers.
Bring me problems, bring me solutions yep. with the problem. So boundaries, how would you define boundaries?
Boundaries are, they're tough. I mean, it really kind of depends on what it is, but I like for offices to have some non-negotiables. You know, there's just certain things that are not okay. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're the doctor, if you're the patient, if you're the employee. And I think that when those are created, when those non-negotiables are created with the team, they have a bigger effect mm-hmm. because they can understand the why, you know, right. This is why we have this in place. This is why this is a non-negotiable. And other things, you know, people are human. People make mistakes. People do things wrong. People may not understand. Maybe the communication is poor. So let's coach those people. Let's get everybody on the same page. But if somebody's just flat out not listening, they're refusing to do their job, they're lying, they're embezzling, whatever it is, I don't care if the patients like them. They're not good for the practice.
Yeah. And let me just tell you, like, you can't always just pick up who's working against you or who's not with you based on just what they say. Mm-hmm. Really, it's really in their nonverbal communication. If you get this feeling like this person doesn't respect you or like you or want to be there, but then when you confront it, they're like, oh no, I'm great. Everything's fine. But then their nonverbals and their actions continue to reinforce. Mm-hmm. And that's like mental torture for you, going back and forth, trying to gauge who's with you and who's not with you. And if somebody just doesn't have the right attitude, you know it. It's just hard to do the hard things.
It is. That's part of being a business owner.
Yeah.
You know, you signed up for that and there's people, you know, I'll help walk you through that. You know, you'll help walk them through that. It's just, it's something that has to be done, the good and the bad. And that's what makes dentistry, I think it's the best profession in the world. But we have to start looking at what's best for the practice and what's best for the patient.
Yeah.
And, you know, is the advertising best for the patient? Are we getting the best patient that we can serve?
Yep.
You know, that's what you're trying to do, is get that right fit in there for them.
Yep. It's what we do. And so with boundaries, I think, and this is, maybe we do a part two on boundaries, but what I'm thinking is a lot of people say boundaries, but when they're in it, they don't realize that that's actually what they're talking about. What they're actually facing is a hard time setting and keeping boundaries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, an employee texts me, Grace, can I just, I'm going to be starting an hour late today. It's like, that's why, what, where's the conversation here? Where's the respect for the commitment that you've made to this position? Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a conversation around that. So it doesn't become a habit, mm-hmm. unless I'm totally cool with that. In which case I would lay that out. So from one practice to another, from one business to another, different leaders have different boundaries.
Absolutely.
That are important to them and different expectations. And so if you don't make your non-negotiables clear, then people can't honor them and they don't necessarily know them, because at their last job, maybe it didn't matter what time you arrived.
Exactly.
So it's an individual process to figure out where your boundaries lie.
It is. And it takes accountability on the doctor who is the leader. It takes accountability on their part, because they'll set boundaries or non-negotiables and then people go past it and they don't do anything.
Then yes.
And that,
oh, that's a whole episode.
That's when it starts getting ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will say, if you're in this position where you're a business owner and you're like, maybe I need to let this person go or keep them, maybe, you know, I need more support, reach out to us. We're here for you. I know that Dana is growing. I know that my company is growing, and we're building teams to help build teams. And that's key. So just know, whatever you do, yeah, you're going to have consequences to every action, but sometimes doing nothing has a far worse consequence. Mm-hmm. So take it into your own hands. You have to intentionally create the practice that you want. You have to intentionally attract the patients that you want. You have to intentionally build that culture. So if you're listening, again, I'm Grace Rizza with Identity Dental Marketing, and Dana Russell with Dental Concierge Coach. And we're both here to help you. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know it was not what we usually do, but Dana and I are going to try to get together on a regular basis and just kind of have these open conversations, because we talk all the time.
Yeah.
Record it.
Maybe we should.
It's pretty entertaining. Our conversations are, it's a lot of laughter, a lot of, can you believe that? You've got to be kidding me. And it's
they did what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. Might as well learn from other people's mistakes.
Exactly. Everybody makes them, and that's okay. It's what we take away from them that matters.
Absolutely. Well, join us in my Facebook group, Dentistry's Growing with Grace, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.